sports, politics, life. Tickets for Less presents Kevin Keatsman Has Issues. Use promo code KKHI at ticketsforless.com.
One of the things you find out very early in your broadcasting career, and it stays with you forever and never, ever, ever goes away, is when you try to communicate something or think you've communicated it or try to say something or send along a message and it's not heard, that something completely different is heard. Even when you learn to kind of go out of your way and say, I think some people will hear me try to say something here that I'm not saying, so I need to make sure that they know that I'm not saying that. You know what I'm talking about. You've heard of all kinds of different stories where you may say something like, you know, I didn't like this or this in sports. I didn't like this decision to be made, but this isn't personal. And then you go out of your way and say, listen, this manager, this coach has done this, this, and this before, proving that this is not what they do every time, and I'm not just taking pot shots at a guy. And I'll try to put some context in something and say, in this one incident, this was a mistake. A mistake was made. Sometimes it's in sports, sometimes it's in news, sometimes it's whatever. And you go almost over the top to try to clarify for people that, look, I'm not being nitpicky here, and I'm not trying to say something stupid that is obvious to all of us, that we all know that there is something underlying in this story that we all agree on and we all know is to be true. But I need to reinforce that because you may be thinking that I'm saying that that particular thing is not true. And that's not what I'm trying to say. Now, do I have you fully confused? Do I have your attention? Okay, great. I'm going to tell you exactly what I'm talking about in just a moment. I want to thank Window World for being the presenting sponsor today of Kevin Keatsman Has Issues. John Gillette and his team at Window World have been with us from podcast number one, and I was with him for over 15 years in radio. In fact, I do the radio commercials on KCMO Talk Radio, and the reason is simple. They have the best products at the best price. We've been getting a lot of rain. You have water coming through your windows right now. We had sideways rain a couple of days ago and heavy winds. If water's coming through your windows, it's time to get new windows. This doesn't have to be painful. If you don't have the money sitting there, or if it's for a rental property or a second property or whatever, you can finance this many times at 0% through Window World. They're happy to do a free analysis and estimate for you if their windows are right for you. All shapes and sizes, lifetime warranties, American-made windows, siding, and doors. Make this call. If you've got water coming in, don't delay any longer. More damage can be done to your home by not replacing these windows now. Then if you say, well, I'll wait 6 more months and kick the can down the road, that's generally speaking not a great idea. Window World is the first call to make. 816-799-0820. That's 816-799-0820 or online at windowskansascity.com. Window World is simply the best for less. We appreciate them for being great patriots. They do great work. They get customer service awards every year. They're just as great as you can do. And John and his team would love to work for you. So what is this story? What happened? What could have possibly been said on this podcast that leads to the topic of, here I am almost 40 years in to my broadcast career, and I recognized it very early on, and it never goes away, no matter how hard you try to get it go away. And the trap that a lot of broadcasters fall into, and this is completely wrong and unfair, and it took me many years to understand this, is it's never the listener's fault. If I do my job right, I've articulated a point, and nobody will ever hear me say something else that I didn't say. So I've shifted over the years and said, it can't be your fault. The customer's always right. If people hear me or think I said something that I didn't say or didn't intend to say, it's almost always my fault. This one is a little different because it's easier on a podcast to hit pause, go back. What did he say exactly? And in this case, I said exactly the opposite. The thing that I'm getting a lot of emails from you on, and it is kind of funny, and I don't think most of you are intending to say, hey, Kevin, you're an idiot. You said something that's stupid and wrong. Most of you are simply pointing out something absurd, and that is the possibility that George W. Bush would ever say anything nice about Donald Trump. We all recognize that George W. Bush is not going to say anything nice about Donald Trump, that the Bush family doesn't like Trump. I get all that. The point that was being made is we were talking about this ridiculous trial that's taking place in New York with Alvin Bragg, the hush money trial, if you will, on something that would be a misdemeanor except for the statute of limitations expired on it years ago, and they can't do it as a misdemeanor. They have to try this as a basically a federal felony, which is ridiculous. This is not a federal case. In any way, shape, or form is this a federal case. And anybody with any legal standing will tell you this is the weakest, thinnest of all the cases. This is ridiculous, but they're requiring Trump to sit there and be in the courtroom. He's sitting there while the jury selection is taking place. It still isn't done. The whole thing is just a carnival. It's a circus. It's a crap show. We know what it is. And I made the point that it would be a really good thing for George W. Bush to do for America, to come out and say, this is a ruse. This is a bastardization of our justice system. This is wrong. And I don't care that Trump is somebody that I don't like, and it's about Stormy Daniels, and it's sordid, and it's seedy, and it's a porn star, and all this other crap. He can hammer on Trump while saying, this is wrong, and shame on the Democrats. Shame on our judicial system. Shame on these judges. As a past president who probably has pretty good ratings now, with a lot of people in the middle and on the left who look at him and say, well, at least George W. Bush wasn't Trump. A lot of those folks, it might really carry some weight. And it might do some good. And there can't be a bone in George W. Bush's body that thinks that Joe Biden and what's going on with these progressive Democrats right now is better for America than the binary choice of Biden or Trump. He can't possibly think that. Now, he can go write in a different name, vote for RFK, do whatever it is he wants to do. But he knows, as a political being, that it's going to be either, if Biden runs, it's going to be either Trump or the Democrat candidate that is president of the United States. That's it. And he knows which is the better of the two, even if he doesn't like the person that's the better choice. He should absolutely be standing on a high moral ground and a high patriotic ground for the United States, which he has always done. He's a very patriotic American, loves the military. He wants that to be his legacy. He made mistakes. Every president does. But it would carry real weight. And I articulated this a couple days ago on the podcast, that if George W. Bush came out and said this is ridiculous, it might really gain some steam and some weight with people on the left or some people in the media, and it would be a good thing. And I even said, he can hammer Trump while he does this. I don't care. The point needs to be driven home that these cases are a joke. And I got email after email after email from all of you that said, he's never going to support Trump. He's not going to support Trump. He's not going to defend Trump. And I want to articulate this again. I'm not asking him to defend Trump. I'm asking George W. Bush to defend America and our systems that have been in place for 250 years that are sacred to us. That's what I'm asking George W. Bush to defend. If it benefits Trump, it benefits Trump. But again, I don't care if he wants to take pot shots at the guy. I really don't care. But I do think somebody with some serious credibility needs to step up and say, this is outrageous and it's a joke. Now, if I had said 2 days ago, I think Bill Barr should do this. Former Attorney General, they love him on the left. He bucked Trump on several occasions. Since being out of office, he has basically said Trump is a loser, an unlikable man, bad person, this or that. I mean, he's just slammed Trump right and left. Bill Barr has, his former attorney general. But Bill Barr is a Republican. He is probably a rhino, if you want to describe him as a Republican. He's probably that guy, just a little right of center. But he respects the law. He doesn't like Trump. And if I had inserted on the podcast 2 days ago the name Bill Barr instead of George W. Bush, I think I would have received the same amount of emails. And I would have said, look, Barr can take shots at Trump if he wants, but he should come out and say, this is outrageous. This case is incredibly thin. This is a complete waste of time. It is election interference, and it's bad for America, and it's bad for our judicial system. It's un-American, basically, is what it is. And I probably would have received a lot of emails from you saying, Bill Barr will never support Trump or say nice things about Trump. And again, I agree with you. But lo and behold, what happened? Bill Barr went on Fox News with Bill Hemmer and Dana Perino on Wednesday And he did it. He did exactly what I'm asking George W. Bush to do. And at the same time, slapped Trump in the face a couple times. It was masterful. The people on the left saw it. The people in the middle will see it. This is important. And this is exactly what I'm asking George W. Bush to do. You would have never thought Bill Barr was going to step up, but Bill Barr stepped up and said, look, the system and America are much more important than Donald Trump. And I'm okay with him doing it this way. This was absolute brilliance on the part of Barr. And this is what I'm talking about George W. Bush needs to do.
I know that you think that the prosecution seems far-fetched, maybe the best way I could. Maybe that's the kindest way that I can say that. Your thoughts as to how this is going now that it's underway and what you think about it?
Well, I've said from the beginning, this case is an abomination. You know, it's obviously political. 7 years after he pays hush money to try to come up with this case. It's also, as you say, it's not only far-fetched, they're trying to predicate it on a federal crime, which wasn't prosecuted, and they're wrong about it. This was not a campaign contribution. They're just wrong on the law. But to me, this shows that the real threat to liberty, the real threat to our system, are the excesses of the progressive left. They're perverting the system of justice, and you know that's where the danger lies, the corruption and subversion of our institutions by the left.
I heard you call this hush money case outrageous. And I also know you've been asked many times, you've had your disagreements with the former president. He's the presumptive nominee. We assume he will be the nominee. Will you support him in 2024?
Well, I've said all along, you know, given two bad choices, I think it's my duty to pick the person I think would do the least harm to the country. And in my mind, that's I will vote the Republican ticket.
You will.
I will support the Republican ticket. I think the real danger to the country, the real danger to democracy, as I say, is the progressive agenda. And while Trump, and I said, Trump may be playing Russian roulette, but continuation of the Biden administration is national suicide, in my opinion.
Wow, just exceptional and articulate from Bill Barr as he says, the threat to liberty is the excesses of the left and considers a Biden reelection as national suicide. And he's right, and we all see it. I think it's the fork in the road in November. I've listened to Sean Hannity for 20 years say, this is the most important election ever, the most important election ever. This is it. And I've never once believed it. This is the one. To hear Barr say this is national suicide if Biden is reelected is shocking. And everyone should heed that warning. It's the change of us from our constitutional republic, from what we've been, to socialism. That's what it will be. Or nearly a dictatorship, because the president, in court after court after court, seemingly is getting more and more and more power and control in this country, which I don't think our founding fathers wanted. I don't think they wanted a dictator. I don't think they wanted a president to be this strong. If they get four more years, America is forever changed. It's gone. It will be a one-party system. They will control everything, and we will be following all their rules or get arrested. And that's what we'll be. And that's what's on the line. And that's why I want George W. Bush to do what William Barr did. I want some people to step up and say, this is un-American. This is wrong. What they're doing to Trump is election interference. Again, whenever the Democrats accuse somebody of something, it's because they're either doing it or planning it. So they've been on this Trump election interference thing forever because they're doing real election interference. We know the game. It works for them. They get elected. They stay together. They've got a lot of attributes that Republicans could learn from. It's sad but true. And it has led them to the doorstep of taking over this country in every way you can think of. KKHI is brought to you today by the Finch Knife Company. I got an email from Spencer over at Finch Knife Co. He says they're having a get ready sale beginning Monday the 22nd. It will run all week long, Monday through Sunday of next week. And here's why. They're inching closer to their next releases of new knives, and the schedule is coming into some great new designs. So they're planning to bring back some past designs with new handle materials, like the Pipeline, the Cherry Bomb, the Nocturnal, the 1929, Devil's Finger, Frog Leg, Takuna, a whole bunch of them. Second generation knives with new handle descriptions, and some of them will be fat carbon fiber, bronze rosin, red bone, snake wood, crawdad, jagged bone. There's all kinds of different iterations coming. When these come out here in the next few months, they got to clear out everything they have right now. So what they're doing for 1 week only, beginning Monday at FinchKnifeCo.com, is they're going to have the Get Ready sale. Every single knife they have is going to be 20% off. I'll remind you again of this next week. It begins Monday, April 22nd, and it runs through the 28th. It's also available at retailers that are on board. We think, hopefully, including Shields in Overland Park, where everything is discounted for 1 week to clear it out for the new models coming in at FinchKnifeCo.com. BeStock.net. My buddy Chris reminded me yesterday, sent me a text reminding me that graduation is just around the corner. And what better present for your high school graduate than a brand new MacBook or an iPad? They make great presents and they are discounted deeply, brand new, in the box, full warranty at BeStock.net. Do not buy at the Apple Store. Do not go to Best Buy, Nebraska Furniture Mart, anywhere. Don't do it. You're going to save big time money at BeStock.net. They'll ship these anywhere. Anywhere that you live, they'll ship them. They are discounted right now. They're brand new. MacBooks and iPads, perfect graduation presents. Or walk right in at BeStock.net in Olathe, 14680 South Flaming Road. MacBooks and iPads for graduation at BeStock.net. And the money you save, you can invest with Aspen Wealth Management. Why wouldn't you? So many people have IRAs, 401ks, or maybe, this is important too, maybe you're in a situation where you have a parent that's elderly. I had a long discussion yesterday with a friend who recently lost his mom, and the dad is elderly as well and doesn't know where every single thing is and every nickel or dollar that they have because his mom had taken care of all of that. A lot of us get in situations where we're helping our parents as well, and maybe it needs to be consolidated. Maybe there's a bunch of CDs or something in different banks or things scattered all over the place. Aspen Wealth Management can help with this. They can manage for your elderly parents. They can manage for you. Pre-retirement planning is a specialty that they do. If you're in your 30s or 40s and you're just getting started and you haven't saved very much, get on a plan today with Aspen Wealth Management. Trevor and Tavis Holzinger would love to work with you and your family or your business, where they do corporate retirement plan management as well. I ask the question, is Aspen the place for you? Do you want to be wealthy enough to retire in Aspen when you retire? Aspen Wealth can help you get there. Make the call to 913-491-0500. If you still have a 401k or an IRA from a previous job, it needs to be rolled over. Aspen Wealth would love to work with you on that. AspenWealth.com, 913-491-0500. And you can talk to the president and founder, Trevor Holzinger, right there at AspenWealth.com. I've been, you know, praising the Kansas City Star for a couple of months about them playing things more fairly. And then I saw a story this morning that I just had to share with you, because this one, I think what happened here was the headline writer was really far left. And then the writer of the story tried to play something fair, and the editors maybe made it even more fair before it got published. And so they got some wires crossed. This is great, because a lot of people just see the headlines and don't click. So honest to goodness, in today's America, the headline's the most important thing. It really, truly is. I don't write great headlines because I can't write one headline for the podcast. We have so many topics on each podcast. I just try to put five or six of them up there, but usually there's 10 or 12 topics. I don't know if I'm telling you the right ones to get you to hit play or not. I don't know. But I don't try to get clever with them. I just want you to know what the topics are. So you'll say, okay, that's interesting. I want to hear this. So maybe you find one of the five interesting and it'll make you hit play. And they're in order. I don't set things out by the minute on the podcast. You know by now the headlines, the five or six topics I put in a headline, they're in order. But there's other stories scattered in there. This Star headline reads, it's about Senator Josh Hawley in Missouri. Hawley outraises the field in Senate reelection bid, period. And buys a car. Period. Two-sentence headline. Hawley outraises the field in Senate reelection bid and buys a car. Okay, so what are they saying here? You know they hate Josh Hawley. They're making it sound terrible that he's raised more money, that that's a negative. Oh, but Joe Biden raising all the money we brag about. It's so absurd. These people are ridiculous. So Hawley's a bad guy for raising more money than his opponents. This elections are unfair. So what does he do after he raises all this money? He buys a car. So if you just read the headline, you're thinking what I'm thinking. You're thinking the Star is insinuating that Josh Hawley is stealing campaign funds and buying a car for himself. Would you not agree that that's what the headline leads you to believe? Hawley outraises the field in Senate re-election bid and buys a car. Oh, he's making so much money in politics and in campaign fundraising, he bought himself a car. Well, the story tells the exact story. It is a factual and true story. And it says he's outraising his opponents. And records indicate that the campaign purchased a car from a GMC dealership in St. Louis. I wish they'd use Roberts Robinson in Excelsior Springs. That would have been great. That didn't happen. Josh Hawley's campaign bought a car that sticker, they don't have the VIN number, the sticker equates to the same as a GMC Yukon, which would be a common car for a campaign person to drive around the state of Missouri while campaigning. And it says it lines up. It was 78,000 or something like that. Purchased from a dealership in St. Louis. And if you keep reading, you get to the fourth paragraph where it says, typically, candidates will rent cars over and over and over for several months and drive all across the state. But, quote, this could actually bring down the cost of a long campaign, unquote, by purchasing the car now and selling it in November. So if I'm writing the story about Hawley fundraising, Hawley outraising opponents will maximize use of campaign funds. That's what I'd say. Because what he's doing is what you'd do or anyone in business would do and what absolutely no Democrat in the history of the world would ever do. And that is watch the budget. We have a campaign budget here. We're going to watch this. There is nothing unlawful about a campaign purchasing a car right now, using it through the campaign, and selling it. Let's say he bought it for $75,000. Even if he turns around and sells it for $50,000, he has saved thousands and thousands of dollars with his campaign. Has he not? This is a positive story. This is the kind of story that, if presented to voters in light of what it is he's doing, makes you want to vote for him. He's watching out for every nickel. It would also make you want to contribute to his campaign. Instead of blowing it on $2,000 a week rental cars to go campaign for a week and put a million miles on it or something like that, because these would be expensive rentals. He's not renting a Corolla here. All right, to go campaign, they need an SUV. He's got to have security in there, and he might need a couple of SUVs the way they roll around the state. This is how you got to do it. This is business. This just is smart on every level. This story's a complete compliment. And the story was presented on the Star's website as a negative, like he's stealing money. They literally present the story like he's stealing money from his campaign to buy himself a car. And then we find out he's doing all the right things. Because you know what Josh Hawley does? He does all the right things. He does. And I would be honored to move to Missouri and vote for Josh Hawley and pull that lever and campaign for this man. And he and Eric Schmidt are probably the best 1-2 tandem of senators in the United States. Because Jerry Moran in Kansas is a disaster. That's an overstatement. He's changed. Washington, D.C. has changed Jerry Moran. He's gotten weak and soft and wants to fund Ukraine and do all these other things. He wants to work with Democrats. He wants to reach across the aisle. Jerry Moran does a lot of things I don't like. But in Missouri, Eric Schmidt and Josh Hawley, number one state in America for senators. I don't think it's close. These guys are absolute rock stars. And I know what's going to happen in November. Josh Hawley's going to win in a landslide. And then he's going to sell this car and put the money back into the campaign fund or whatever. And they'll declare that. Should have been a compliment. The whole story is a compliment. The flip side of that, of people not taking care of business is a group of people that are conservative that you would think would be watchdogs and take care of everything because they are world-renowned for watching everything, almost like a big, important museum that houses the most expensive, finest art in the world. There has apparently been a thief at Augusta National named Richard Glebinski. Glebinski is a 39-year-old former employee at Augusta National, and he has been charged with crimes of stealing merchandise. This is important. There's merchandise available at Augusta National that is not available anywhere else. You can't buy it online. It's not available in stores. They don't market it nationwide. If you go to the tournament, you buy things that you cannot buy online. And the members of the club are able to purchase Augusta clothing, gear, putter covers, different things that are not available anywhere else. They're all trademarked. Glebinski is charged with stealing those things and historic memorabilia from 2019 to 2022 as an employee. If he's 39 now, he started there when he was 24, and for 13 years was stealing merchandise and memorabilia from the club and would send it to a place in Tampa, and it is valued at millions and millions of dollars. How did this happen at Augusta National? This seems impossible to me. How could this have possibly happened at Augusta National? They've got rules there. If you win the tournament, you get to take your jacket for a year and wear it. Then it comes back to the club. It belongs to the club. Now, there was a lawsuit over this at one point about some of the rules, and it's been settled, and nobody knows how it was settled. We know that Scottie Scheffler was wearing his jacket in a dive bar in Dallas Sunday night after the Masters. After he flew home on his jet, he went to a dive bar with his wife and was wearing it, and that's how they celebrated. She had a Heineken Zero as she is pregnant. And so he apparently gets to keep it for a year, then it goes back and belongs to Augusta National. So all the jackets are there. Like Bobby Jones' jacket could be there. They would never report if something was stolen. They'd tell the authorities, but it would stay private. So Augusta National would never want this out. They were getting ripped off by an employee for 13 years and never caught the guy or fired him at Augusta? Now, I'm also going to guess there's no cameras at Augusta. It's a private club, and I'm going to guess there's no cameras because they wouldn't want any leaks and want things out or whatever. I'm going to guess it's the last place on earth that they've got all this stuff and would want cameras. So I don't know, but this occurred, and it's millions of dollars worth of stuff, and everybody that loves golf is dying to know what he stole and what's missing from the club. We assume most of this is just merchandise, a box of these, a box of that. And it was shipped apparently to someplace in Tampa, and they're going to catch everybody here. This stuff is so valuable. It's really interesting. There was a story out this past week that Fred Couples told on a podcast about his caddy, Joe LaCava. When Fred Couples won the Masters, Joe LaCava took the flag and the pin off the 18th hole. It's typical at a golf tournament that when a player wins, the caddy takes the flag and they take it home and they collect the winning flags. And that's their trophy. The player gets the trophy. The caddy gets the flag from the 18th. Every tournament in the world has allowed this forever. Augusta National allowed it forever. Fred Couples won the Masters 20-some years ago. And Joe LaCava took the whole pin, the stick and the flag. And security stopped him and said, "You can't take that." And he said, "You're going to have to arrest me. You have to take it out of my hands and arrest me." And they let him go. Nobody knew that he did this. Nobody knew that he did this. And he didn't tell anybody. So no other caddy did it for 25 years. Then Joe LaCava's on the bag for Tiger Woods in 2019, one of the most historic Masters ever. Tiger's comeback, almost certainly his last major. Joe LaCava's his caddy. He takes the pin and the flag, and they try to stop him and say, "You can't do it." And he says, "You're going to need an army to stop me this time." And he has on his basement wall the coolest thing you've ever seen, the pin and the flag of a Fred Couples Masters and a Tiger Woods Masters. They're in a box. They're up on the wall. It's the most glorious thing ever. So what happened when that story came out this week? Ted Scott, the caddy for Scottie Scheffler, took the pin and the flag. And the next morning, posted a video in his bed where he's sleeping on one pillow and he rolls over and the camera pans over. And sleeping on the pillow next to him is the pin and the flag from Augusta National, from Scottie Scheffler's second Masters victory. It was really cool. It went viral. It was everywhere. And Ted Scott is keeping the pin and the flag. Now, these people aren't want to sell these things. But I'm telling you right now, if Joe LaCava wanted to sell those two pins and flags, he'd get millions for those. There is no doubt that some really, really, really rich guy would buy those. The caddies make a lot of money. Ted Scott's made millions this year caddying for Scottie Scheffler. So they don't need to sell these things. And that's not why they stole them or took them. I think they feel like they earned them. I don't know if this is now going to happen every year, but the caddy got out with it this year. And it seems to me if the Masters can't protect their memorabilia and their stuff, they might as well let these people take this stuff. Whatever winds up on eBay or at auction, we'll know exactly what happened. But we're going to assume that that's not going to happen. Entertainment news. Martin Scorsese is a famous director. He produced a movie last year called Killers of the Flower Moon, starring Leonardo DiCaprio and... I didn't see it. Oh, you know, the crazy guy, Robert De Niro. Apple produced the film. They paid $215 million to have it made, and it was nominated for Best Picture at the Oscars. Apple is so impressed with the work that Martin Scorsese does, they're on him again. Scorsese's working on a Frank Sinatra biography film where Leonardo DiCaprio plays Sinatra and Jennifer Lawrence plays Ava Gardner. A lot of people think that he wants to work with Apple again because they just did that, but some people say Sony Pictures is the leading candidate to get this film. Tina Sinatra apparently must agree to this as part of the deal or agree to the script. She runs the entire Frank Sinatra estate, and Martin Scorsese says he respects Sinatra so much that he will not do it without the family agreeing to allow him to do it. This will be an all-timer. If Martin Scorsese, Leonardo DiCaprio, and Jennifer Lawrence produce a Sinatra film, it's going to be big. Yeah, I want to see that. I didn't even know Sinatra. That's way before my time. I will rush to see that film. And I think a lot of young people will. So that's kind of interesting to see that that one is coming out. And right now, he's basically got it out for bid, looking for the studio that's going to produce it and fund it. Sports today brought to you by McConnell & Associates. My buddy Bart Danler over at McConnell & Associates wants you to know that wherever you walk, park, or play, you're walking, parking, or playing on pavement and construction services for McConnell & Associates. You'll see their blue and yellow barricades around a lot of street areas where they're doing sidewalks and overpaving streets in the spring and summer this year. They do a lot of that. If you've walked in Loose Park, you've walked on their trails. They do work all over the city, and you may not have heard of them before. But if you're on an HOA board, which many of you are, and you're considering redoing your pickleball courts or tennis courts in your neighborhood or running tracks or other outdoor sports services, call McConnell & Associates. Just call my buddy Bart at 816-215-1973. That's 816-215-1973. If you work on a city council, if you work with a city, if you're looking at crack filling, seal coating, restriping, design, or building of parking lots and surfaces, they're the best anywhere in the Midwest. They're really just a giant company. They're big. And they do a lot of work with municipalities and counties and people of that nature. But they'd love to work with you and homeowners associations, churches, offices, medical parks, city and county parks and rec, high school and college sports directors, facilities managers. Perfect. Call McConnell & Associates. Bart Danler, 816-215-1973. Walk all over those guys. Ideal Health KC is regenerative medicine. Dr. Kip Van Camp is going to be on the podcast here in a couple of weeks. And I'm asking that if you have questions about regenerative medicine, send me an email. I've gotten a couple of great ones already. They're very specific about something that either they have or their spouse has or a friend has. I won't name names. I'll just ask your specific question for Dr. Van Camp when he's on. If you've had trouble with surgery or steroids or procedures or pills, regenerative medicine could be for you. And all you got to do is call Ideal Health to find out more. You can schedule an appointment at idealhealthkc.com, 913-745-5300. The future of medicine is your body's tissue working for you. The future of medicine is your body's blood working for you. You heal you. I won't say this is anti-big pharma, but it really is. It's new medicine that's saying we're not pushing what big pharma's pushing. Basically is what this is. Dr. Van Camp is awesome. The website is idealhealthkc.com. If you have a question for the good doctor, send me an email. I got an email yesterday from a gentleman who had called Advantage Termite and Pest Control because he was having problems with his sprinkler system. His sprinkler system was, when he went to blow it out and turn it on, wasn't working properly. He had a couple of broken heads or something. He's had people do maintenance on his sprinkler system in the past. Apparently, it's a bit of an older system. And they never fix it properly. And he didn't like the people he was working with. And he realized that, yes, Advantage Termite and Pest Control does lawn maintenance and sprinkler systems. And so he called Advantage. He said, I've never had more professional people come to my house and work for me. I couldn't be more thrilled with the work they did on my sprinkler system. It is operating beautifully, and I am so happy. I've never once mentioned on this podcast that they do sprinkler system work. I've never once mentioned it until I got this email from him. Never once. And yet, he looked them up. He looked at the website. He heard they did lawn maintenance and thought, well, this is lawn maintenance. I wonder if they do sprinklers. He gave him a chance, and now I'm telling you that he told me best he's ever had. Sprinkler turn on, turn off, system blowout, broken head repair, complete installation of new system, you name it. Yes, Advantage Termite and Pest Control does that too. AdvantageTPC.com. Caitlin Clark is all the rage and all the news because her salary apparently is only going to be $75,000 and there's no equality in sports and women are treated differently. There's no money in the WNBA. If the league's broke, it's never made a profit. It's subsidized by the NBA. This whole thing's a non-starter. If Caitlin Clark is what everybody thinks she is and she's going to transform the WNBA, the salaries for all will come up. Just like Tiger Woods raised salaries for everyone in golf, Caitlin Clark can raise them for everyone in the WNBA. She's going to have no issues making money. She's already done a deal where she's going to go on the ESPN podcast once a week like Aaron Rodgers did, the Pat McAfee show. She is close to signing a 10-figure deal with Nike. That's $10 million or more, okay? So we're looking at really big numbers here every single year of what she'd be making. Ridiculous amounts of money. So, I mean, over the years, how much money are we talking about? This is a big deal. So she's getting her money, and she's going to make a pile. And to this point, I think she's earned it, and I love the free market. And pay her. But doing a deal with Nike is interesting because Nike can't get out of its own way right now. They botched the Major League Baseball jerseys. We all know that, the uniforms. Now they're off to a rough start with the Caitlin Clark jersey. She's drafted by Indiana, the Fever. And they immediately sell out their first allotment. And Fanatics reports that they will not get another shipment of Nike Caitlin Clark jerseys until August. Dick's Sporting Goods says they will not get Caitlin Clark jerseys from Nike until October. And so everybody went wild and goes, what's going on with Nike? How inept are they? It doesn't take long to make jerseys. You ought to be able to do this. Both companies blamed it on supply chain or Nike's manufacturing schedule. And then we get the report that Nike's about to sign a deal with Caitlin Clark. It leads me to believe if they're signing a deal with Caitlin Clark, they're going to sell all the stuff between now and August or September. If they can get the deal done quick enough, that there will be plenty of merchandise available. But the only way to get it will be Nike.com or something that Nike is selling. And they're going to do this directly to the public. Doesn't that stand to reason? If that's not it, if they really have a manufacturing problem and they can't get this stuff made, what's wrong with Nike? Because like the boys over at Barstool Sports will take something that happens in sports with 24 hours, you can buy stuff online and have it shipped to you. Stuff that goes viral that they know within 10 days nobody's going to want. They just jump on it, sell it for a week or two, make their money and move on. But I guess not with Caitlin Clark. I don't know what's going on here with this. I guess we'll have to see. But she's about to get rich. They're going to pay her. They're going to pay her $10 million a year or more is what they're looking at. Big time money for her. Good for her. On to baseball. We had something really interesting happened. I'll get the Royals in a moment. Really interesting happened last night in Major League Baseball as the Red Sox beat the Guardians 2-0. Pitcher named Tanner Houck needed only 94 pitches. He walked nobody for a complete game shutout with 3 hits. This game was played in an hour and 49 minutes. It's the shortest Major League game in 14 years. Now, I'm not the guy says, I paid my money, I'm going to the ballpark, I want to be out of here in an hour and 45 minutes. but I also won't complain about it. Baseball is fixed, ladies and gentlemen. The pace of the game is not just tolerable, it's interesting. It keeps you in the game. It keeps you turning. The pitch clock is working. And it's not the reason pitchers have more injuries, if indeed they do. Baseball has worked very hard to make itself more appealing to more people. The downside is when you play really quickly and the pitchers pitch really well, it may only be an hour and 49 minutes. And for a lot of folks to pay big bucks to go to Fenway Park and watch the Red Sox, that's maybe not enough of a night out. I don't know. It'd be interesting to poll the fans. If you went to a game and it was only an hour and 49 minutes long, would that bother you? I think that would be interesting to find out. I think the sweet spot for Major League Baseball is right around 2 hours and 15 minutes. If a game is played at between 2:15 and 2:30, it's absolute perfection. It feels just about right. In some weird way, it feels kind of like a college basketball game time amount. And I like that, but it was interesting to see that happen with just 94 pitches. He threw a complete game, and that game lasted only an hour and 49 minutes. The Royals took longer than that on Wednesday because they had a regular doubleheader. I did a whole podcast for the patrons yesterday on traditional doubleheaders. It was cool. It was fun. If you want to sign up to become a patron, you can hear it. It will get unlocked, and you can listen right now to the patron podcast from yesterday. In game one, Salvi hit a two-run bomb in the eighth inning. Royals down 2-1 to take a 3-2 lead. They won that game 4-2. It was dramatic. It was cool. Bobby Witt Jr. got an infield single, a hustle hit, is what we called him when we were kids, because he ran so hard to first base and beat it out. Then Salvi hit a two-run bomb. This was on a day where the Royals didn't hit at all, but they won the game. Would you believe this? Salvi came up in the second game in the eighth inning with the Royals down 2-1. They put a pinch runner on first base with two outs who got caught stealing at second, and Salvi didn't get a chance to drive him in. Salvi came up in the ninth with a chance to tie the game and hit a massive deep fly ball to the wall, the warning track, in center field where it was caught. It's disappointing. The bats on the road are disappointing. The Royals don't hit on the road like they do at home. The splits are quite dramatic. There's really no reason for it at this point. It's too early in the season for me to say that there's a reason for it. Those numbers will come closer together over time. I think at this point, maybe it's just a little bit fluky. It could be pitching matchups. There could be a deep dive into this, and we could see reasons why, but it's something to watch out for. The Royals not scoring on the road is something to watch out for. So they lose 2 out of 3 in New York, win 2 out of 3 in Chicago, come home for a day off on Thursday, get the Orioles and Blue Jays coming up for 7 at home. And, you know, this is where we are now. The Royals have been really, really, really good at home. These are good teams coming in here. Toronto can really pitch. Baltimore is a dramatic late-inning team that wins a lot of games late. Royals is seven-game homestand. The Royals need to go 4-3. You got to keep chipping away and getting farther over 500. It's what you have to do. But you can't have any of those things like we've had in years past. No 1-6 homestands. Can't do it. And it's hard to believe that they would have that happen. But there are times you can watch the Royals and say, we're going to have droughts this year where this team doesn't hit. That's going to happen. The Royals showed that in Chicago. They didn't hit a lick in Chicago. The weather was terrible. Somebody said the turnstile was only 98 people yesterday at the White Sox game. I mean, that place was empty. There was nobody there. It was a cold, wet day, long doubleheader. It was a game that wasn't previously scheduled for that time. All of these things came into play. But we got to watch out for the Royals' bats on the road because it's disappointing. To see them flail around and not hit will be a problem because then you just got to go out and win 2-1 every night. Or count on Salvi to hit one in the eighth inning and win the game for you. A really bad story in sports. Former Mizzou star Jontay Porter has been banned from the NBA for life. We've got more details on this. The NBA says Jontay Porter disclosed confidential information and limited his participation in one or more games. And he is banned for life from the NBA. So here's what happens if you're not a bettor. They have all these apps on your phone in different states where you can bet online. And they, because the gambling companies can't just let you bet on the game or the total of the game, they want to put all the players up there and let you bet on a player, whether Steph Curry scores 28.5 points, more or less than 28.5 tonight. And you can bet on that. So they do it for all these players. Well, Jontay Porter's not making any money. He's bouncing back and forth between the Toronto Raptors and the G League. whatever. He's on a two-way contract, right? So he's no star. He's been injured a little bit. They're wanting to play. They've had some injuries. They're going to get him out on the floor. They're going to play him. And apparently what he does is he has people that he knows that says, we want to bet on this. Are you going to score more than 3.5 points tonight? And they cook up a scheme where they say, well, this is easy. I'm going to tell him my stomach's sick. I don't feel good. I'll go out there and start the game and miss a shot or two. And then I'm out of there. I'm going to tell him I'm really sick and I got to go back and get some Dramamine or Tums or whatever. And I'm out. He's already got a swollen knee. They'll shut him down. They'll say, if you don't feel well and your knee's already swollen, player protection, you're out for the night. Well, that's an easy win. You bet on him to score under 3.5 points, and he took himself out of the game. That's what Jontay Porter did. There's nothing lower for a competitor than that. That makes me sick. Now, I don't feel bad for the gambling companies. They put these things together and just tempt people to do things like this. It isn't throwing a game. Okay, the integrity of the NBA is not the big issue here. The integrity of the man is the issue. That instead of he's got his opportunity to play now, making the most of that, and going out and maybe having a night where he scores 13 points and they win a game and he really pitched in and helped his teammates, he's got buddies out there placing bets that pay off in parlay fashion up to $80,000 each, according to the NBA. The bets placed were all between $15, like some people heard about it and placed $15 bets, up to $22,000. The larger bets were the red flags for the gambling companies because they started winning. They placed these bets and the accounts were frozen and the payouts were held. They were not paid out. The gambling companies didn't pay these. They didn't lose any money. It's hard to beat the casino, folks. And when they're working directly with the NBA or the NFL or Major League Baseball, they're going to catch you, right? It's unclear whether any laws were broken here or not, but the NBA and BetMGM or DraftKings or whichever one it was that they were working with, certainly it's against their rules, and the NBA has every right to kick Jontay Porter out for life, and they've done that. I got to tip my cap to Clay Travis of Outkick.com, who immediately posted on X, hey, Jontay, what about the WNBA? Put some lipstick on and go play there. You'll be the best player in the league by far. Pretty funny, really. What would the NBA do if Jontay Porter came out as trans? Is he banned from the WNBA or just the NBA? Wow, that would be some story, wouldn't it? Our final today is brought to you by Advanced Medical Imaging, online at medimageks.com. For an MRI or a CT scan, do not wait 6 weeks. Go now. If your doctor says get these, get it now. If you want to get your heart scan done this spring, get your plaque score. It's about $100 out of pocket. Call Tricia at Advanced Medical Imaging, 785-856-0224. They will even give it to Dr. Suber there at the family practice next to Advanced Medical Imaging, and they can read it for you. If you don't have a doctor or don't want to send it to someone else or get someone else involved, you can have your scan done, your heart scan done right there, and the family practice will read it for you and give you the results and everything else. MedImageKS.com. Amazing Garage Floors. I can't keep track of all of you to say, this is the year I'm going to get my Amazing Garage Floor. This is the year I'm going to do it. I'm going to paint the walls of my garage. I'm going to hang a TV, and I'm going to do my garage floor. And you haven't done it. What are you waiting on? Why are you waiting? Make the call. AmazingGarageFloors.net. 913-901-7139. They also seal concrete for you. Patios, driveways, sidewalks add years of life to your concrete. Make the call to AmazingGarageFloors.net. And Dr. Bill Bush and his team at North Kansas City Dental would love to be your new dentist. They're taking new patients. They're expanding as they go. They've got multiple dentists there. Dr. Bush can be your dentist, or Dr. Anna Everson can be your dentist, or any of the doctors they have there would love to be your new dentist. These are great conservatives. They're no mask wearing around this place, even during COVID. They're awesome. He's the dentist of the Chiefs. So you know what you're getting into. They got two locations, one north of the river, one in Westwood in Kansas. They do TMJ treatment, teeth whitening, veneers, crowns, cosmetic dentistry, you name it. They've even put jewels in teeth for Chiefs players and other people that want to do that. NKCDental.com. I don't expect our final person will be putting jewels in his teeth anytime soon. I mean, I don't even think he'd wear a hoodie with jewelry on it or, you know, like emblazoned on it or printed on it. No, the original hoodie wearer, Bill Belichick, is our final, as he appeared on Pat McAfee's podcast and television show. And as they were talking about needing more coffee for the day, Bill Belichick offers up that he has never once had a cup of coffee in his life, that he prefers tea, and not just hot tea, iced tea. And now I've got a real conundrum, because that's me. I have never had a cup of coffee either. I have tasted coffee. I sipped it a couple times in college late at night where they said, hey, do this. Take a couple sips of coffee. You'll be able to stay up and do it. But I didn't like it. I don't drink it. I brew tea and drink iced tea. I like cold drinks way better than hot drinks. I have had a Bailey's and coffee at one point, but I didn't finish it. So I don't think that's a cup of coffee. I didn't like the coffee part that much. I don't hate coffee. I think I could learn to like it. I've just settled on tea. I don't know that that's better or worse. They both stain your teeth. You need to go to Dr. Bush for that. But it's interesting to hear Bill Belichick say that. It led, of course, to all kinds of people posting online what's better than coffee. If you want to be awake, the first thing people jump on is Mountain Dew. Some people say two Diet Cokes. They're like, try this, try that. If you need your caffeine, there it is. But Bill Belichick says he gets his caffeine from tea, and he's never once had a cup of coffee. Who would have guessed? I don't know any football coach that's never had a cup of coffee. It is a staple for them to stay up crazily all night long and have their hearts flutter while they're trying to gain an edge on their opponent. Bill Belichick is our final today. At Kevin Keatsman Has Issues.
Kevin Keatsman Has Issues has been presented by Roberts Robinson Chevrolet GMC and is produced by Crooked Tail Media. Please hit the like or follow button wherever you listen or give us a review. For premium content, podcasts, and weekly newsletter, join as a patron at kkhasissues.com for as little as $5 a month. Support all our sponsors and other conservative businesses at thekklist.com.
This has been a production of Crooked Tail Media Incorporated.